So anyway, Judas and the Black Messiah came along with the soundtrack, and we're going to talk about the soundtrack a little bit later. We all found out that in the bevy, it is a very star-studded, I guess we might as well just talk about it now. It's a very star-studded soundtrack, the soundtrack for Judas and the Black Messiah. Nas is on it, Her is on it, Black Thought is on it, Polo G, a bunch of people. And Pooh Shiesty, which was the first where I was just like, why is he here? No shade, but why was he here? And then, you know, there's a Nipsey Hussle and a Jay-Z song on, like Nipsey Hussle and Jay-Z song on there.
Got a shout out my guy Dom Kennedy also.
Dom Kennedy's on there. Well, I was gonna go through the full, like, I know we're gonna go through the full playlist. But of course, there's a Nipsey and Jay-Z song. Even if Nip had not passed, all of rap internet would have been excited about that. But
this ain't no throwaway verse.
This is no, awesome. Like this is like the Hove that y'all love to hear.
Yeah. Oh, and it's the Nip you love to hear too. Like this, that's what I was talking about. Because you know, I wonder how many more Nip verses do we have.
Right. True. And so you know, but there's also another song on here, a very good, very decent Nas song. But the internet once again turned it into, oh my God, Jay-Z won't let Nas live. They on the same project, bro. Not only are they on the same project, but no disrespect, that Black, whatever, what was that song called again? That he did with Pharrell last year that dropped on the same day as King's Disease? Exactly. Do you see my point? Do you see my point? Does anybody give a damn about that song a year later?
I mean, I don't.
But anyway, so yeah, the internet made this whole like, oh, look at this. It's been going on for 20 years. And then somebody shared with me that the video from when Nas was on The Breakfast Club and they asked him about it. And they said, you know, Jay-Z dropped Collision Course. And Nas was like, what is Collision Course? Which proves my point. Y'all better stop acting like anybody cares about this except
who said Collision Course? Collision Course was crazy.
No, but Collision Course dropped on the same day as the Nas project. And Nas didn't know when they said Collision Course, Nas didn't know.
Oh, Nas didn't know what it was.
Yeah. And okay. I think that the average person knows that there was a Jay-Z and Linkin Park project and does not know what that project was called.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. That project was pretty big commercially, and
oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
I before I watched that interview, had you said to me Collision Course, you would have had to clarify and say the Jay-Z Linkin Park project for me. So
yeah,
don't mind me. It's
Linkin Park. Huh? Like you know, Linkin Park was also pretty popular back in their day.
Oh, for sure. I don't know if y'all can see my earrings. I want to shout out Come See Like.
Well, the people listening definitely can't see them.
Well, I want to shout out Come See Like, which is a vendor online. It's a Haitian-owned, woman-owned brand. And I just got some earrings that say Haitian on one and that say Haitian, but one is in French and the other one's in Creole.
And if you go to Ty's profile, you will see a photo of the
video, a whole reel,
and a video. Okay,
yeah, there we go. You already know for sure. Anyway, so also featured on this project. So of course you have Nas. The joint is called EPMD. The Jay-Z Nipsey joint is called What It's Feel Like. What It Feels Like. My God, produced by 1500 Nothing. And Mike and Keys.
Hey, shout to Ranton. My God, Mars.
Definitely, and shout to Mike and Keys. Oh. Hit-Boy produced the Nas joint, yeah?
Yes.
That's a Hit-Boy, man. Hit-Boy is also actually on a song here called Broad Day. Smino and Saba are on the song called Plead the 45th, which is the song that, so No Name was in the news, and No Name, I guess, identifies as a communist. No Name stated that she was offered the opportunity to be on that joint with Smino and Saba, and she declined after she watched the movie. And I felt like her tweeting it that way was a little irresponsible, but you know, niggas tweet irresponsible shit every day.
Are we not over her?
But no, and I mean, like, the only reason why I say that it was irresponsible, it's not even because it was her. Like, her saying it is like, whatever. But my thing
but
is,
it does say, matter because she's establishing a pattern of being a lame ass nigga.
But I feel like if you're going to say, yeah, I watched the movie and then I didn't want to fuck with the soundtrack, at least explain why. And her reasoning why was that the movie Judas and the Black Messiah, in which case Fred Hampton is the Black Messiah, did not center and focus Fred Hampton's politics and his work. It's called Judas and the Black Messiah. That would lead me to think that it's about the nigga that betrayed him.
Once again, you know, I'm over her shit.
Country for No Name for you.
No, and she don't rap well enough or do anything well enough for me to care what No Name thinks. So, yeah, respectfully to the Black delegation, can we stop bringing her up just to be triggered? If she got something constructive. Like, not, and this is not dismissing her point of view.
And like, yay to you for sticking to your politics.
Cool. I mean, but first of all, it's goofy. But it's cool if that's what you want, because go watch a Fred Hampton movie. That's not exactly the angle that they chose to take. You know, Fred Hampton was a character in somebody else's life. You know, like, just because that's the person who everybody knows, we all know. Well, not we all, but you can find Fred Hampton's story. A lot of people don't know the other story or the story behind the story. And that's what this film uncovers for the masses. You know what I'm saying? So,
and also this film is a historical drama. So like, let's be clear. Don't nobody go see this shit thinking it's a biopic or thinking it's a documentary. It's neither of those things. And even if it was a biopic or biopic, however y'all want to say it. Even if it was, it would still be a fictionalized account of a real person's life. It still would not be 100% fact. It's not a documentary. Right. It's not a documentary. Also on here, Masego got a joint with JID and Rhapsody, which is tough.
That's ridiculous. Just on paper.
Really, like, I did not have a problem with any of this project. What I loved most is that they managed to deliver music that sounded relevant to that time period, but that was all new music.
Yes.
That was the dopest thing.
So it's funky, y'all. It's funky.
For sure. And what I did, the first time I listened to it,
it's early.
I'm an immigrant sometimes. The first time I listened to it, I just let it play. Like, I wasn't looking at the track list. I wasn't looking at anything. I put it on. I put my phone in another room and I was listening to it. And I was able to pick out certain voices or whatever. But I really enjoyed being able to just enjoy the music and not having any expectations going into any of the joints. So good job to everybody on here. I honestly can't say. Even the Pusha T's joint, like, I was surprised that he was here, but it's not like it was a bad song. So shouts to Cardiac, who co-produced that Masego JID Rhapsody joint.
Cardi is on a tear right now.
He is.
He's been on the tail, but I'm glad that folks are really starting to recognize what he's been doing for a long time. He's getting a lot of people hitting him up like, yo, I didn't know you've been doing my favorite joints for years. So that's
dope, man.
That's how my bro out.
That's a dope feeling. Did you have like any standouts or any favorites on the joint?
I'm still absorbing. So okay. I gotta give it a go through. But I mean, everything had a vibe. I really like the intro. The intro was pretty funky. It sets the tone. You know, you come in, you hear Fred Hampton's voice, you know, like you get the whole vibe with this project. I really appreciate how Black this project is.
Yes. I'm glad. If nothing else stuck from last year.
Oh, Black Thought.
Black Thought killed that joint. Very much. Very, very much. With the young man on there singing the hook, who I thought was John Legend. Hey, I was like, ugh.
That's a great compliment.
Sure.
To everybody but Ty.
I mean, you know, I don't dislike John Legend. I just, you know.
Thinking like somebody is somebody who's successful is a great compliment.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure, for sure. His name is C.S. Armstrong. The joint is Black Thought, C.S. Armstrong, and Angela Hunt. And it was produced by Sean C.
Nice.
So a lot of good, like, I like that. A lot of I like seeing the big, big, big names and the names that the mainstream don't necessarily check for all the time, collaborating on a project together. So kudos to everybody involved. And if you had to, you know, Nas held his own.
No, the Nas song, it's a really good song.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool because, you know, it's a short joint. It's about 2.5 minutes, but it's only him. Mm-hmm. You know, he got his own joint. You know, you can see that him and Hit-Boy have established a really good synergy. So, you know, I'm here for it.
You think we're going to get another project out of the two of them together?
I mean, why not? Let's get another one. Why not? You know, or at least let Hit-Boy oversee some more of your work. I feel like if y'all establish that kind of relationship, you know, kind of what you had with Large Pro back then, have that with Hit-Boy going forward. Nas is always going to be relevant lyrically. He don't sound old. You know, Nas is classic. He's got a classic approach to making music. So I think it's a good combination that needs to keep happening.
Yes, indeed. So I'm excited for that. Alrighty. Let's talk about the other major drop yesterday and then we can go to the other shit. So your girl Taylor Swift, as she will do, just drop something off yesterday at midnight.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Here you go, guys. As she will do. Is this a new project or is this the re-recorded project?
It's the re-recorded.
Okay. So she re-recorded her 2008 project Love Story. Obviously the story being that, you know, what's his name? Scooter Braun sold off the masters
sold off
some of her early music. And so she re-recorded the project and re-released it. I heard some interviews with her talking about how, you know, like, obviously her tone has changed, like her voice has changed a little bit in the time since then, because in 2008, Taylor Swift was, I'm about to tell y'all in a second, but I don't know off the top of my head how old Taylor Swift is. So in any case, she re-recorded that project. I'm also going to tell y'all, and I don't even have to look it up, but I know that project was many times platinum. Taylor Swift was born in 89. So in 08, she was 19? Yeah.
Yes, that's how it worked.
Because I was 28, so she was 19. And so now she's, you know,
much older than that.
She's 31 now.
What was that voice about? Much older than that.
It was me not being able to do math on the spot.
Gotcha.
Like, it was just my brain being like, I don't know how old she is today either, still.
Right.
Okay, so that project, let's see, awards and nominations performance. That's what we want. Commercial performance. Where's the chart thing that tells you how many times platinum this shit is?
I'm talking to RIA.
Yeah, I'm on it now. Let me see. No, it's telling me the chart. Okay, 7 times platinum in Australia, 2 times platinum in Canada. It only went platinum here? One time? Really? No, lies. 8 times platinum in the US. So she already sold a combined, let me see, 7, 8.
So the project is called Fearless. Fearless is the album.
Oh, so she renamed it?
Or is it, no, it's Fearless. Yeah, it's Fearless.
I thought it was Love Story.
Love Story is one of the songs on Fearless.
Oh, that was that. Okay. I thought Love Story was an album.
Taylor Swift doesn't have an album called Love Story.
You're right. I'm sorry. It is a single.
It's Fearless. And Fearless is Diamond, actually.
Okay. So the song was a gazillion times platinum.
Yes.
My bad.
No problem. But yeah, Fearless is the joint. She has packaged and re-released it. And she also, so it's not a deluxe. It's actually a re-recording. She had to re-record the whole thing.
Re-record the whole thing.
Yeah, but she actually, yeah. So that's what kind of happened. So now, kids, for your lesson, Now that she has a re-recording, this is a derivative work. This is not controlled by anyone who had it. And the reason why she could do that is because she also had, you know, she has her publishing, which means the lyrics and composition. So when you give up your sound recording, they own that original work. Once you re-record it, you've now created the derivative work, and you can go do whatever the fuck you want with it. So shout out to whoever bought her shit. She's recording her shit. Both versions will be available in store. So when y'all go, you know, Spotify and iTunes or whatever, you'll see both versions. Make sure you click on the Taylor Swift version, the new version, not that old shit. Because we support an artist all day. Like Dave Chappelle, we're not watching that no more. There you go. Shout out to everybody watching us out here in IG. The place to not be. Clubhouse is going crazy. Yo, so here's what I figured out in that Nas track. He dropped Clubhouse. I want a count of how many artists have name checked Clubhouse already. We know that you know, it's gaining popularity, so mad people are going to start doing that as well. It's going to definitely become this thing where people are shouting out Clubhouse because, you know, we got new people on the platform. So make sure y'all at me and let me know what y'all Clubhouses are. So if we not follow you, we can follow you. This Clubhouse is becoming a pretty big deal.
I'm over here, like, I was complaining about not feeling like a grown-up earlier this week. And then this week has been, like, the most adult week of my life.
Does anybody do a podcast by themselves?
I did a podcast by myself all the time. Shankar Vedanta, well, no, he has guests on there. But I used to do, remember when I used to do the download? We didn't call it a podcast because, you know, I didn't have the terminology podcast in 05. But
for 2015.
But no, yeah, like I just did the news. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay,
like I just,
well, that's not a pod. I mean, I guess it is, but I mean, like, you know.
But I think there's people out there that just talk.
That's like recording. About that. I don't want to sit and listen to one nigga talk.
You a hater? People listen to me talk. But anyway, I'm back. I'm sorry. Yes, absolutely. We are pro art. We are pro artists. And here's my thing. Like, it popped back up the other day because I said it on an episode last year and our guy Apollo posted it on Facebook. Shouts to Apollo. His birthday was yesterday. Like, just because something ain't for me doesn't mean it's not good. Taylor Swift is a white woman from Tennessee who is 10 years my junior. Her making music that I don't relate to, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's perfectly fine. And every once in a while, she's had a couple joints that I really fuck with. There was one in particular. What was the one where she was dancing? Shake It Off?
Listen, don't ask me about Taylor Swift song.
Shake It Off was my joint. But anyway.
I'm in no way, shape, form, fashion a Taylor Swift expert.
What I will say is that you can't knock her hustle, yo. You cannot knock that girl's hustle. You just can't.
I mean, I think, you know, once again, I don't understand why we live in a world where anybody would knock Taylor Swift's hustle. You know, once you become famous, people knock hustles. And that's just kind of the way it is. And let's just attribute it to the fact that you're famous.
Yes, it is. Because haters gonna hate, as she said in her song. anyway.
Real quick, I just want to shout out... today is the 25th anniversary of Fuji's The Score.
AKA the 25th anniversary of all the closet Haitians that were hiding on high school and college campuses in 1996. Talking about my mom is from Canada. Calling themselves nicknames instead of Jean or whatever their name actually was. All of a sudden finding all their flags and remembering that they was Haitian. Boy.
You know what's crazy is that that album is very much current as far as what it's talking about.
Yes. I listen to that album a lot, actually. Like,
it's,
I go back
it's,
and I
it's one of the greatest albums we don't talk about. Like, we give a lot of albums that, oh, man, this is one of the greatest albums of all time. For me, the score is easily, first of all, it's easily a classic album, and it's easily top 10 albums of all time for me in hip hop. It changed the landscape. Like, it's one of the albums I remember where I was. I remember all the skits. I know all the songs, you know what I'm saying? Like, word for word for word. Because it was striking. Like, the score asked questions. And that's why it's still relevant today. It asked questions. Wyclef was asking questions. Prize and Lauren, they were asking questions. They were fighting the system on a pop record. You know what I'm saying? Like,
on a really good album that was very poignant.
A really well-produced album. That album, sonically, was Wyclef's coming of age. You know, the musicianship, all the remixes.
And you can really play it for somebody right now and they would not know it was a 25-year-old.
Oh, it sounds amazing.
Like, if you did not know who Wyclef, Lauryn Hill, and, well, you don't know who Proz is. If you did not know who Wyclef Jean Lauryn Hill,
why would you do that?
I'm sorry, Proz. I know who you are, Proz. I'm sorry. I'm being hella anti-hate.
Well, shit, I tell you, after that damn movie he came out with, nobody should know who he is.
But no, actually, you know, Proz had a fucking huge hit by himself. That Ghetto Superstar was not a small song.
No, he had a mega hit. Shout to Maya
and ODB, rest in peace.
Oh, I remember Love Story. So yeah, she re-recorded Love Story.
But it's if you don't know who these people are, like if you took somebody like your daughter's age, or like if I took my nephew and I played him the score right now, which I'm going to because he's Haitian American and he should know this project. And he's a kid who loves rap and he should know this project. Like, it doesn't sound dated. Like, there's a couple of terms in there that might be, you know what I'm saying? Like, some references that you might not recognize or whatever. Shit is fire. Shout out to my dog, Kiko, and her toy bear who reenacted the Chinese food store skit from that album, which is a classic. Shout out to that Fuji Live video, which was amazing. Shout out to Salaam Remy and John Forte. And Rod Digga, who made an appearance on there, and fucking Akon. First time y'all ever heard Akon.
First time we heard Akon, yes.
Was on that album.
The Fuji Live remix.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, one of my favorite albums. Man, like, so those of us who were not closeted Haitians were super proud when that project came out. But it really did, like, if you were not in New York City or in Miami, it really was the beginning of like this kind of sense of Haitian American pride that you didn't necessarily see in a pop culture setting. And so for whatever other things I may have to say about Wyclef at any point in time, like, I gotta give him props for that. What?
I remember the first time I saw Wyclef at the Labor Day parade, and it was when Obama was running and he was on a big ass float.
Not on a motorcycle.
Nah, he was on the float, you know, he's on the float with the Haitian dancers and everybody going crazy. And he led the Obama chants. We was going nuts. The score, man, Diamond D. Oh, man, there's so many epic parts of this. Ross Baraka, who is now the mayor of Newark.
Right.
The son of Amiri Baraka.
Who is a legend.
Legendary black poet, man, like revolutionary. Like, I mean, I just remember how many mics. I remember Fuji La. We got strumming my pain. Like these songs, man.
And the dub play before that.
Yes.
I still know that album.
I know
from
it back to front.
Beginning to end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I have a friend named Junior who I still call Junior, and his name is saved in my phone from that, from when she's like, yo, Junior!
Yo,
Junior, you know, come here!
The score was a movie.
Yes.
That's what it was. I mean, literally. And I mean, that's, you know, that was kind of their intention, but I wish the score was an actual movie, because the score back then was an audio movie to my ears, and I don't know if I actually knew it. But this... albums like this set the standard for me for albums after that. You know what I'm saying? And this was released in what? What year was that?
25 years ago was 1996. It was my senior year of high school.
Oh, God, we're getting all the classic albums. This is the 25th anniversary of my life.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Shit. Yeah. 1996.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, nah, just to, you know, just to be clear, the score is, it's my favorite album that, from that year, because that year is loaded. That year is absolutely loaded. But it is my favorite. It is definitely top five of 96 for me as an album. It might be number two, and it might be one of my favorite albums of all time. No, it is. I take that back. It definitely is. But man, 96, 25, oh man, we got Hov coming up. We got, oh man, this is going to be fun. Got Reasonable Doubt. This is nuts.
Woo! Jagged Little Pill by Alanis. A lot of good stuff. We had a lot of good music that the two, like, 95, 96, 97, 98, a lot of amazing shit dropped. Alrighty. So last weekend was the Super Bowl. Next week, we'll be hearing about all the people that caught COVID at the Super Bowl.
But was it even people that were going to the Super Bowl or just random people who decided to go down there?
I mean, they gave 25,000 people access to the actual game. So there were 25,000 people at the actual game.
I don't think so. Football has been open to audiences for a good amount of the year.
Indeed.
Depending on where you are. They had like they've had like space between people. I'm pretty sure the NFL is not taking the liability of, you know, it's like getting on a plane. They're spacing y'all niggas out. You know what I'm saying? And you sit with your family. So I know a couple people that went to the actual game. I'm not worried about people at the game.
It was a lot. So Kodak Black got out just in time for that shit. Had a gig booked and apparently showed up and did one song and ran off on the plug twice. It was a lot of like Flo Rida had a like it was a lot of regular ass Super Bowl weekend behavior happening in Ybor City last weekend, including, you know, some violence. I saw a video of a fight where by the end of the video I was like, does anybody actually know who was originally fighting and about what? There was a shooting on the very first day. Like, it was just a lot of madness, but I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if these are regular things and they just seem like not regular things to us because there's less going on still. Like, we're still kind of at a, you know, like, let's say the world was at a 30% back to normal. Or are people just acting the fuck up because they've been stuck in the house for too long? Because we coming up on a year. I got in a Lyft today, and I realized that, like, I really haven't been in a Lyft since we were actually physically recording in the studio. And that was, we're coming up on a year. So what do you think? Is it people, like, just acting up? Or is it regular behavior that we weren't paying attention to before?
It is a little bit of both. Apparently, nationwide, numbers are down. Hospitalizations are down. You know, people are getting vaccinated. As a whole, we are doing a little bit better. And I think we're out of flu season.
So people are just wilding out?
The outlook is better, but people are still wilding out. In spurts.
No, and that's what I was saying. Like, are people wilding out because they've been in the house for too long?
Well, people have been wilding out because they've been in the house. You know, okay. I mean, it's, you know, that's the whole adverse reaction to being stuck in the crib. So, you know, but now, I mean, shit, you gave them a Super Bowl. Like, they're trying to give them an All-Star game.
They're giving them an All-Star game.
Here.
Are you going to be home? Well, you're far enough out of the fray.
No, I'm not. I'm in Midtown.
Yeah, but you're like on the residential side of Midtown. You're not like right on Peachtree.
No, I mean,
like I'm a mile and a half from where the stadium is.
Yeah, but ain't nobody going over there where you at.
No, I'm still going to be in Roswell, though.
But people are going to... There's still a lot of overflow traffic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I live off of Marietta Boulevard, so there's going to be overflow traffic. There's going to be niggas on Howell Mill. There's going to be people... You know, like Howell Mill and Chattahoochee. You know, I got Topgolf over here. I got a bunch of stuff that's annoying.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about Topgolf and all them. But yeah, I'm definitely, I want no parts. I want no parts. So at the Super Bowl, The Weeknd performed, and that worked out pretty well for him in terms of his numbers afterwards. I had a link. I don't know what happened to it. But, you know, it did what it was going to do. A lot of people didn't realize they were fans of The Weeknd, I think, until they saw him kind of perform all of his stuff together.
Like, wow, I heard a lot of that. Oh my God, I didn't know. I realized I knew all these Weeknd songs.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, Showtime is doing a documentary on his Super Bowl 2021 halftime show.
Really?
Announced this yesterday.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was directed by Nadia Hallgren, who is a Emmy nominee. It's going to be called The Show, and it was produced by Pepsi's in-house content studio and production company, which is called Boardwalk Pictures. It's going to be a 90. Nadia Hallgren also did Michelle Obama's documentary. So this 90-minute film will give us a behind-the-scenes look at the production of The Weeknd's recent career-spanning performance at Super Bowl,
which he bankrolled himself.
55.
He paid for himself
out of pocket. It's going to come out later this year. And then he was, you know, we talked about last week how he announced his new tour dates for 2022. They said that his, of course, he was one of the first person in who knows how long to do the halftime show completely by himself, not a single guest appearance. And he spent $7 million of his own money to do this production.
Yep.
So congrats to The Weeknd. Her also had a standout performance at the beginning of the Super Bowl. She sang America the Beautiful, right?
Yes, she did.
And was she also the one who did? No, Jasmine Sullivan did the national anthem. And they made Jasmine Sullivan do the national anthem with somebody else, you know, to show how inclusive and united the NFL is. But according to the Jasmine brand, songwriter and pianist Andre Sims has filed a suit against her. And him and DJ Camper and co-writer Justin Love for allegedly sampling his song. Well, I guess he filed it against her, DJ, the producer, and Justin Love for sampling his song Endless Minds without compensation.
What?
He has a song called Endless Minds.
Oh, no, I got that part.
And they actually sampled it on her song Focus. And so I guess it's just coincidence that he waited until the Super Bowl to sue her?
Well, I'm just confused as to why and how a song was released on a major label that wasn't cleared.
Right. But we see it a lot.
Do we know this was a sample for sure? Or?
I mean, the joints are on here. I haven't played his song to hear how well it compares to hers.
No, I mean, the nigga said it like, yo, like he knew, like, yeah, they sampled me.
He's suing for $3 million for copyright infringement and injunctive relief.
No, I mean, of course, that's what happens. But so just to be clear, here's how it works. Generally, labels will not clear anything that does not have samples clear, because then they're held liable for it. So they generally, you know, the producer has to sign a deck and say, hey, I didn't use anybody's samples, or everybody whose samples I use, here's the information. You even have to turn in, like, if you use shit from Splice and all that other stuff. So I don't know. I'm gonna have to read the story, but filed the song, singers, co-producer. So yeah, Cameron's gonna have to deal with this one. It's going to reverberate through to Sony and everybody else. But thinking that somebody particularly used it, you got to prove that that person knew you existed.
Right.
You know, because here's the thing. A lot of times, and we've been saying this a lot, a lot of times people think like, oh man, that sounds like, listen, bro. Sometimes people come up with similar concepts, especially when, you know, like there's so many musicians in the world. He has a lot to prove.
For real.
You know, the homie came out and said, yo, Cardi B stole my song. Yes, a portion of your chant sounds like a portion of her hook. You know, it happens. And that's not
it
to
happens
say,
a lot.
That's not to say whether it happened in this case or not.
Oh, we haven't talked about that yet. We talked about it, but no. We haven't talked about it on the show yet. So let's talk about that real quick while we're on the topic then. So Cardi dropped her new single last Friday called Up. I, being the auntie that I am, did not realize that was the new slang that the kids are using. If it's up, then it's stuck. I don't know.
Hold on. So if it's the new slang, then that's like saying, that makes it even more crazy because I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, it's a new slang. Not only that, but there's somebody else that did the song before Mir Fontaine. So wow. Mir Fontaine, who is a songwriter, rapper.
From Jersey.
When Cardi dropped her joint, dropped a video of his hook, which it is. It sounds basically like the same hook.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same phrase. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like somebody suing somebody for a song saying it's lit.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Or, you know, so apparently somebody else did it before Mir Fontaine anyway. I think, what's Saucy Santana? Is that the name?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, if it's up, then it's stuck. If it's like, what? Like, come on. Bro.
And it's literally just repeating the phrase. And I don't know how else you could have made it down.
If anybody hasn't heard a Cardi song, she doesn't do that for the entire hook. That's just a section of the hook. It goes into another section. So
absolutely. So... but I enjoy Cardi. I wish that outside was open so I could go enjoy this in a dark corner in front of somebody's son. But that's going to have to wait.
yeah, Cardi is wild. The first of all, the video is fire. Choreography, the colors. I'm really enjoying the visuals that she's providing with her joints. And I appreciate her spending all that money to make sure that, you know, they're cool.
People are safe to do it.
You know. Because I'm pretty sure a lot of folks of all identifying genders and sexualities enjoyed this video very much.
Go ahead and say what you're trying to say, sis.
I mean, you know, she all tongue kissing the girls. You know, it looked like a damn sex club.
There's a whole scene which basically is like Cardi and five girls just making out.
Sharing tongues.
Yeah. Just, you know, clearly proving that they are COVID free.
Hey, listen.
And sharing all kinds of particles.
All kinds of particles.
All kinds of particles and mouth germs. If you have recently been around a kid in kindergarten, because you know they teach some kindergartners about their mouth germs.
Yes.
Because they like to put things in their mouth that aren't supposed to be there. We had to give a shout out to our good folks over at AudioMac, who signed licensing deals with UMG and Sony, and who also now their streams count towards Billboard.
Yes.
As of this year.
Yeah, shout out to them. That's amazing news for a brand that has been building the right way, building slowly, offering and dealing directly with creatives. AudioMac became the alternative to SoundCloud.
Yes.
Right. But they've grown to be so much more, and in a good way, in a way that's been very helpful to a lot of creatives. And also, I got to shout out their work in Africa.
Yes, I was about to say that, because they've become one of the number ones, a major player on the African continent, and they are number one on Apple in the music category in Nigeria, Ghana, Tanzania, Senegal, and Kenya. And if you go on their homepage and you look at the music that's trending, you're going to find a lot of African artists on there for this reason.
Yeah. So I watched a live thing that they did from Nigeria with one of their AudioMac folks there. It was hosted by a Nigerian footballer who plays for Villarreal, Samuel. I am not going to attempt to even chop up his last fucking name. But, you know, they're doing some great things, man. They're providing opportunity, you know, to the continent. The delivery of their music allows for it to be used in a way that does not consume a lot of bandwidth. So that consideration alone allows people to share and listen to music without killing all their data plan. So that's a huge consideration. It's smart. But yeah, they're doing
it. For sure, because we take that unlimited data for granted like a motherfucker here.
And you can monetize AudioMac as well. So for all the people who are not on AudioMac, you're creating my voice, go sign up for AudioMac now.
100%. You absolutely should be. Absolutely should be. What else happened this week? We talked about Taylor. Oh, TikTok also signed a deal with Universal, an expanded global alliance, they're calling it. Mm-hmm. And this is also as the Biden administration has decided to put a pause on the push to get TikTok banned in the U.S.
Yes, right.
But rather, you know, to just take a closer look at how Chinese companies operate in this country. Man, it's so great to have grown-ups in control again. Wow.
Some grown-ups. We still got some not so grown-ups. But mostly, yes.
Yes.
That's president for sure.
For sure. So TikTok and Universal Music Group have signed a deal. Which they'll be more allows users to be more empowered than ever to express themselves through music, soundtrack their video creations with songs about which they are passionate, and build communities around artists and music-centered culture. So basically, what you're watching is TikTok and Reels, just doing kind of this back and forth racing. I think this week Instagram also announced that they're going to basically not officially, but officially shadow ban reposted TikTok content on Reels.
What is happening? Well, but here's, they built proprietary software to identify the TikTok logo so they can shadow ban your shit. That is a level of petty. That you either love or hate to see.
Here's my thing though. Couldn't y'all have took that same amount of time that you found to identify the logo to actually make your editing better so that people didn't feel like they had to edit the stuff in TikTok and then bring it over here to Reels? That couldn't, no?
No.
Oh, okay. That'd have been too much, That would have been too much, I'm sorry, I just got distracted. And I just dropped something on the floor. I don't know what it was. Okay. Independent music leaders are now urging Congress to, you know, again, since we talked about the fact that we have grown-ups back in office, there was a letter delivered by the American Association of Independent Music to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, urging them to include relief provisions into the next round of relief, COVID-related relief, that specifically addresses and speaks to the music community. The letter states that Congress must act to help musicians to get back to work recording music, and requests that the relief package includes the Help Independent Tracks Succeed Act, which was introduced last year. That act would allow recording artists and their record label partners to immediately expense the cost of most indie projects rather than having to spread out the tax benefit over time. So it's a bunch of different, there's an article on Billboard. It's pretty lengthy. It's not in the Billboard section that's reserved for subscribers, so anybody can access it. If you are a working musician, you should definitely be aware of these laws that are being passed or being proposed to help you guys, because then that's how you're able to go in and get in touch with your senators and your congressmen and make sure that they're voting for the shit that matters to you.
Absolutely.
Stop being asleep at the wheel. I just randomly just saw that they're making a Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV show
with
Donald Glover.
Donald Glover, yes.
I find that very interesting. we were supposed to talk about Malcolm and Marie, which I still haven't watched. So instead, can we talk about WandaVision real quick?
Sure.
Y'all, this is your alert that there's going to be some spoilers. Okay?
We'll give you 5 seconds to fast forward.
5 seconds is up. Give us like 10 minutes. Fast forward like 10 minutes. So yeah, look, first of all, I hate that I wasn't able to jump back on with you guys on Monday because I spent all week waiting for somebody to talk to or looking for somebody to talk to about the fact that when not Pietro, Pietro showed up at the end of episode 5, mm-hmm. the alarm was going on. Did you peep that?
No.
I went back and watched it again. You know how when Monica got pushed out and when Wanda came out of the bubble, that there was an alarm, a perimeter alarm?
Oh, yeah.
When Pietro shows up and they pan out to Darcy watching, that alarm is going off.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if that has anything to do with how weird Pietro was acting all this episode, or if Pietro is the equivalent of the part of Wanda's subconscious that feels bad about what she's doing, but still wants to do it. Does that make sense? Because like, it felt like Pietro was like steady telling her that what she was doing was wrong, but he's cool with it. And like bringing up the things that she's doing, like, oh, don't worry about it. Your dead husband can't die twice. Ha ha ha. Type of shit. Like just being real tongue in cheek and bold about the things that she was doing. But this fucking growing bubble and the discovery that the people on the outermost like edges of this bubble are not doing shit, and Vision trying to leave but not being able to get out, like, okay, that's all I had.
It's a lot.
Now you go.
Yeah, so man, this episode was kind of crazy. You know, once again, shout to Malcolm in the Middle, which is the inspiration for this week's show.
Oh yeah, that was why the kids were narrating the episode.
Yeah, so we start with the single camera narration, the looking straight at you, breaking the fourth wall, conversational TV that was really big, starting with the 90s. The kids are an amazing addition to the show.
Yes.
And then, you know, they explore the relationship with their uncle, Quicksilver. Not Quicksilver, but the other Quicksilver. But now this Quicksilver, who knows that he's not this Quicksilver. And that's funny. But the costumes, right? So this is the Halloween episode. The costumes, Wanda, Vision, and their retro costumes. Wiccan, mm-hmm. in his Wiccan costume. Right, and then later we see Speed and Pietro don their comic book costumes, right? So everybody's in their appropriate comic book costume. Then we see the kids get their powers.
Yes. Right?
We see Speed obviously get Speed like his uncle. We see Wiccan stop Speed dead in his tracks with the red beam, like he gets his Wiccan.
Oh, power. I didn't even see the beam. I saw him stop him, but I didn't see the beam. Yeah. Okay,
yeah, sorry. It's a little red. He's a mini Wanda. You know, okay. And then he can hear his pops, you know, screaming. This shit's wild. Herb saying, you know, can I,
is there something you want changed?
Is there something you want changed? Like, Herb is still kind of autonomous. And the weird interaction with Agnes. Yes. Agnes was not fully out of it. Now, she was at the edge. Remember, Wanda said, don't go past Ella Street. Ella Street's mm-hmm. the barrier. When Vision pulls up, first of all, Vision changed his entire outfit, which we haven't seen before.
We had not seen it. And did it intentionally.
We've seen him do the face change, but we have not seen him change into his entire outfit. So he changed his Halloween costume into his traditional or new age Vision costume. Mm-hmm. That was kind of crazy. But he has an interaction with Agnes. And it's like, when he got there, Agnes was kind of just staring. But she wasn't out of it like the other people. She wasn't crying. She still had a conversation with him. It was more like a conversation of, you're talking to me, I'm focused on something else, mm-hmm. so I'm just kind of answering you from the side of, you know, my mouth,
right.
or whatever.
Right.
Then she kind of, then he did what he did to the other homeboy, zapped her, right? She turns, she looks at him. Now he's got her attention.
Right.
But it didn't seem like she was coming out of the coma like everybody else. It was like, oh, okay, what are you doing here? You're dead.
Like, no, but remember, she asked him if he was there to help them because he's an right. Avenger.
Well, I think she's. Personally,
you think she's acting because the theory for those people who are, you know, like postulating theories about the show that they obviously have to change every week because they keep like being like, nah, y'all thought, but no. Everybody's been saying that Agnes is Agatha Harkness and that she's somehow involved in Wanda having this spell cast over her whole town. But now here she is. You think she's acting when she's like, oh my God, are you here to help us?
I think that she's not nearly as under control clearly as the other people in town.
Okay.
So to what end, I don't know yet. Let's be clear. They're doing an amazing show, amazing job with this show of every episode letting you know that you don't know shit. And I enjoy chasing this story because that's what we're doing. But we are right that Agnes is not normal. Herb is not normal. There's something with them. They have some sense of autonomy mm-hmm. that the other people in town don't have. My theory is that there was some prior disposition between them, and Wanda has some sense of either control or they got sucked in the same way everybody did from Sword at the end.
Yo, the fact that she turned them niggas into clowns in a circus.
So we're gonna see, but that whole interaction, and even Vision was like, he's like, you don't know where you're at, you grew up here.
Right.
You know, and it's clear that she didn't. So and then she laughs at him, and then like a witch's laugh.
Right.
In her witch's costume.
Right.
And she turns around and drives off, going back into town. Mm-hmm. So once again, everybody else at the edge was stuck. Like, couldn't move.
You're right. And she was not stuck. So I wonder if it's something with being closer to Wanda, the closer you are to her, if that magnifies something or other. Because she's the closest to her in general.
I think that works for everybody else. But this is why, once again, the rules of what are happening to everybody else is not, they're not quite applying to her.
Right.
Right. And we don't know why, but we know something's up. We know with her, like, once we got that whole conversation between them two,
mm-hmm.
that's when we knew, oh, these niggas are autonomous.
Yeah.
There's something about them that is different. And still, Agnes is the only person that they don't know anything about on the outside.
That's true. That is true. So I'm excited. I'm also excited because this is a mini series. So whatever the fuck it is, it's going to get wrapped into a fairly neat little bow that's going to lead us into other things in the MCU. We're all thinking Doctor Strange. Why is my brain not wanting to
know? Doctor Strange, yeah.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Why was my brain was like, no, it's not Strange. It's something else. Doctor Strange. I'm excited. I'm very, very excited about it all. All right. So this week we are going to fucking drop our playlist, y'all, on Monday. I'm doing it on baby.
It's coming.
So of course we talked about Up, we talked about what it looked like. G-Eazy had a joint. Did we ever listen to that G-Eazy joint last week? I mean, last week on Wednesday when we first sat down.
Did you drop another one?
No, the one that he did with Chris Brown.
Yeah, I did.
We did listen. Meek Mill or Young Thug just dropped the joint featuring Meek Mill.
Yes, they did. And it's going to be featured on the YSL album, the follow-up to 2018's, sorry, I'm in the wrong decade. 2018's, I was about to say WandaVision. 2018's Slime Language. This is going to be Slime Language 2. You know, YSL is Thug's record label. So, going to be Thug's artist heavily featured on this project. This joint was pretty dope. I like it. It's, you know, It's a return to Thug spitting some bars. You got me going crazy on the hook. And the nigga who I didn't know actually was fire.
Yo, but like Thug surprised me. Yes. Thug definitely surprised me. Like, stop me in my tracks. Like, I'm sorry. Is that Young Thug rapping? And he does that every so often. He decides that he wants to come out here and rap. Mm-hmm. And I'm always excited about it.
I want to remind you that he can.
I'm always excited about it.
And the nigga who I didn't know is T-Shine. So shout out to T-Shine.
For
holding his own in the middle of Thug and Meek Mill. The song is called That Go. YSL's Young Stoner Life. And the video is on YouTube. Go check it out.
And our fave, Guap Dad, dropped the first single from his project with Illmind.
Yes, yes.
Called How Many?
The Filipino hookup is officially on the way.
Yes.
Yeah, man. How Many? So Guap Dad has always, and I love independent artists who come with great visuals before they're big. I remember when Big Sean was dropping videos that were quality. And I was like, yo, this dude he's already got his own thing. You know, because that means something later on. Quality control means something, right? Mm-hmm. If you're an independent artist and before you have a major paying for all your stuff, if you already have like a director homie and you already got a little staff, you know, we talked about how Travis Scott used to have like a cameraman running around with him. He had a whole team of people, even when he wasn't who he was, who believed in his vision, you know, and who was documenting everything. And Guap Dad, you know, has always had these crazy professional videos. And this joint's no different. It's a story about him, story about a young lady. Things are good until they're not. And then somehow he ends up in a trunk and she's beating his ass with a shovel. So,
Tells you that it's what looks like it's going to be a part two to that video. So there's going to be a continuation to the story. That it ended. I would like to see it, as the meme says. So you can look for them joints on our playlist. Did anything else drop that we need to talk about other than Judas and the Black Messiah?
You know, it's Halloween weekend, so there was just a bunch of...
Halloween? It's not. Only on WandaVision. Valentine's Day weekend in real life.
Wanda, what are you doing to me? Yes.
Who's doing this to you, sis?
As I got the hearts and all this shit in my background. The Beatles dropped Love Me Do, which obviously is not a new
song.
It includes the 2009 and 2015 remasters of I Feel Fine, I Need You, Here, There, and Everywhere, and I Love Her, and then the title track Love You Do. So classic songs being brought back, sounding great. Obviously, shout out to George Martin, one of the greatest producers of all time, and the Beatles, you know. So
Robin Thicke dropped.
Yes, he did.
On Earth and in Heaven.
Yes, some things. Florida Georgia Line. Let's see who else.
Tiana Major 9, which I'm excited about that. I'm definitely about to go check that out.
And the Rolling Stones dropped a 6-song EP, Heartbreak, which is, it includes mixes and remasters from 2009. The project was delayed due to the pandemic, so finally got to come out during this weekend. It includes songs like Wild Horses and I Got the Blues.
Lucky Day dropped an EP. I'm sorry. I'm okay. I'm a huge Lucky Day fan.
I'll let you talk about that.
I mean, I don't know anything about it. I'm just seeing that it happened. But he dropped a 7-track EP called Table for Two, featuring Yeba, Mahalia, Ari Lennox. There's a song, which I guess is a Queen Naija song that he's featured on, that he included on the EP. So it looks like all of them are duets with women, except for one song on there, which is called On Red.
Oh,
and the intro. Nice. And then, which I'm excited because I literally, like, I keep telling people about Lucky Day and I keep having to send them back to his 2019 debut, Painted. He dropped the deluxe last year, which had a couple remixes on there. So now this is some new music. And, you know, obviously Table for Two to coincide with Valentine's Day. And then Pink Sweats just dropped a new joint as well.
Of course. All the R&B niggas better have dropped.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Rita Ora dropped an EP with Emin Beck called Bang, four songs.
I haven't heard that name in a while.
And which one, Rita Ora or Emin Beck?
Rita.
And then Sia, remember we were talking about Sia was working on a project for a movie called Music?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that project is now out, which is all solo joints except for one feature with one song with David Guetta, which means it's still a solo joint, one with Labyrinth, and a remix featuring Burna Boy.
Did I tell you that I once saw Rita Ora?
In person?
Oh, yeah.
Is she beautiful?
Walking out of the Grammy office in Santa Monica.
She's a beautiful girl.
Ridiculous. Like, better in person. Like, stunning.
Did you, like, stop in your steps like I did that time when I saw Craig David?
Nah, because that would have been too weird. Because stopping in... Craig, if I would have stopped, I literally would have been in her way. So, we just kind of... Like, she was coming out the door. We were going in the door. And, it was just kind of an acknowledgement.
Mm.
But, had I stared at her too long, I probably would have lost my eyesight for a little bit. Not just me. That she's gorgeous. So, shout out to Rita Ora.
All right. So that's what happened. That's what we have to listen to this week. Like I said, look for that playlist from us on Monday and some more content and things. I just saw come across my timeline that Michael B. Jordan and Jay-Z are partnering on a limited series about the life of Muhammad Ali Amazon.
Did we talk about that deal?
No, let's talk about
Michael
it.
Michael B. Jordan. So Michael B. Jordan signed a production deal. So we got the Super Bowl commercial, right?
Yes.
And, that was all good. But it actually turned into an entire deal with Amazon Studios.
Nice.
So, he is working on that as a part of his production deal, I believe. And it's super dope. It's amazing, though. But when you Google it, people are still talking about how good he looks in a commercial. Come on. Lady.
Oh, yeah. But, that commercial was...
Looking for the good information. I love that commercial.
That commercial was hilarious. That commercial was hilarious. The level of panic in the husband's voice as the commercial goes on, hilarious. Hilarious. Yeah,
so Michael B. Jordan's Outlier Society signs a film deal. That's his production company.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon Studios. Michael B. Jordan's production company has expanded its existing partnership with Amazon Studios to include a first look film deal and an overall television deal.
Nice.
So...
I love to see people getting checks. And I love to see people getting checks, bringing in other people getting checks. Like Issa Rae had talked in the past about a project that she had written about an all-girl rap group.
Yeah.
And now they've released that she's actually working on that with the City Girls for HBO. City Girls.
Yeah, that's coming
to fruition. I'm excited to see these collaborations, man. Like, if all of the talk didn't necessarily lead us to where we needed to get to, but I like the fact that there are some Black creatives leading the charge and making sure that we not only have a seat at the table, but that we're eating and that our voices are being heard. So
we are pushing forward. And once again, to all the folks who are at home who felt powerless, push forward, push the narrative forward, create something, and then put it out there. We have to become, that whole be the change. Well, you know what? You actually have to be the change. Like, it's a lot you can do with the complaining stuff, but no, actually be the change. You'd be amazed. And I think we're being the change.
I'm excited for us all, y'all. That is going to do it for us. Shouts to 12 Studios. I keep putting in our notes that the episodes are recorded at 12 Studios. We ain't left the house in almost a year. We've definitely not been at 12 Studios, but we want to shout them out.
12 Studios don't even look the same no more.
We want to shout them out. Shouts to our producer, Anatomy.
Hey, Mikey, how you doing?
Shouts to our Bounce Gang family, of course. And of course, as always, he is at Scissor215 on all social media platforms.
And she is at St. Boogie on everything, including the world famous Clubhouse.
Yes, where Eli Musk and
Kanye are going to completely destroy the service next week.
Yes, absolutely. And we got to figure out, we'll let y'all know what day we'll be. We're going to start to do this on the same day and also do it on Clubhouse.
And hopefully we get a club soon.
listen to us. And we're going to start bringing in some people to talk with us. Well, so, you know, anyway, big things are going. We out of here. Shout out to my Aquariuses. Peace. This is our last day. Shout out to my Aquariuses as well. Peace out. We'll see you next week. We'll see you next week. You remember that? Later, y'all.